This is CBS News Bay Area with Juliette Goodrich.
Good evening to you. I'm Elizabeth Cook in for Juliet tonight. A growing memorial in Half Moon Bay to honor the 7 farm workers killed in Monday's mass shooting. Today we saw people dropping off flowers and stuffed animals at Mac Dutra Plaza. The 7 people, including 5 men and 2 women. An 8th victim remains in the hospital, and tonight a mother and daughter were among those who came by to reflect after learning that they knew one of the victims. 50-year-old Marciano Martinez Jimenez.
I knew one of the people. I didn't know I knew him. So just like remembering his face in the back of my head and just like, huh, I'm sorry. He would like, because he would walk his dog past my house. And every time I would see him, you know, it was just like, oh, he's right there, you know. And just like knowing that that's not going to happen anymore, you know, it just made me realize how we take people for granted.
And a community choir that normally sings for people who are sick also came out to provide some comfort. They sang songs in both English and Spanish.
Yes, bendito sea.
What does that mean?
It means blessed be. In the darkest night, the stars are around and the love is around. Blessed be.
And as the community tries to process this tragedy, new details are emerging about the gunman's possible motive. In a jailhouse interview, 66-year-old Chun-Li Zhao told an NBC News reporter he wasn't in his right mind when he walked into the Half Moon Bay mushroom farm where he worked and shot 5 people, killing 4 of them. Prosecutors say he then drove to another farm where he previously worked and killed 3 more people. Zhao told the TV station he had been bullied, worked long hours at the farms, and his complaints were ignored. A spokesperson for California Terra Garden confirmed Zhao lived on the property with his wife and said the farm had no knowledge of any bullying complaints. New details reveal that this wasn't the first time a shooting has happened at California Terra Garden. According to a criminal complaint, Martin Medina was arrested back in July for shooting at his co-manager's trailer while he appeared to be drunk. Authorities say the bullet went through a neighboring trailer with a family inside. One of those family members turned out to be a victim in Monday's mass shooting at that same farm. But authorities stress these 2 cases are not connected. Medina is charged with attempted murder. And tonight we're learning more about the living conditions that farm workers faced. San Mateo County Supervisor Ray Mueller tweeted out these images. He said they were from one of the farms, although he didn't specify which one. You can see sheds and a mattress on the floor, although it's unclear if people actually slept there. There are also children's toys scattered around and an outdoor cooking area. And a shed where the supervisor claims the alleged shooter lived. The governor's office says Cal OSHA is now investigating the 2 farms involved. And a vigil is wrapping up at San Francisco's Portsmouth Square. Hundreds gathered there tonight to honor the lives lost to mass shootings and all the victims of gun violence in the AAPI community. Kelsey Thorud is there live for us tonight. Kelsey?
Yeah, the vigil actually just wrapped up a few minutes ago, but you can see there are still a lot of people gathered out here at Portsmouth Square. This was a vigil, as you said, to honor and mourn the victims of this week's mass shootings in both Monterey Park and Half Moon Bay. It was organized by several local groups here in the city, and their goal really was to offer people a space to grieve tonight. It's very much a community-focused vigil. There weren't any politicians that spoke here. Organizers told me they wanted to create a safe space for people who live here in Chinatown. They say this community specifically has experienced tremendous stress over the last 2.5 years. I spoke with one of the organizers earlier tonight who told me they chose to host the vigil at this exact location for a specific reason.
There has been substantial violence where particular elders in our community feel fear, and then to have the latest 2 attacks be intra-group from seniors, it makes some people feel uneasy and that almost a feeling of not having a safe place to go. And so we thought it was important to host it here in the nation's oldest Chinatown to bring the community together in this heavy moment.
Now, we have seen vigils every single night this week in cities all across the Bay Area. Tomorrow night, there is going to be another vigil in Half Moon Bay. We, of course, will be there. That vigil starts at 5 p.m.
Yeah, the Bay Area just trying to heal from all of this. All right, Kelsey, thank you so much. Meanwhile, the family of a man killed in an Oakland police chase while standing at a taco truck has filed a federal lawsuit against OPD. The officers were silently following a suspected sideshow driver when the suspect crashed and killed 27-year-old Lolomania Sokai. Others were hurt in the crash at 54th and International last June. Sokai was getting food with family members following a graduation celebration. His family says the officers were engaged in a so-called ghost chase where they keep their lights and sirens off.
We just want to see the people involved in the situation that happened on that night be punished for their actions.
Sometimes it is better to let a bad felon go than to risk the death of an innocent person, or even risk the death of a felon, where the felon, in effect, doesn't deserve the death penalty.
The officers' names have not yet been released, but back in June, the police chief told us they'd been stripped of their powers and could face charges. In September, the DA charged the driver they'd been chasing with felony vehicular manslaughter. Both the city and OPD declined to comment on this new lawsuit. Body cam footage of the hammer attack on Paul Pelosi at his San Francisco home will be made public first thing tomorrow. In a rare show of unity, prosecutors joined the defense in opposing the release. Wilson Walker explains why.
Not just the body camera video, we expect to hear the 911 call and see surveillance video, as well as a portion of an interview conducted with attack suspect David DePape shortly after his arrest. It was a San Francisco judge that ordered the release of this evidence after a coalition of news agencies argued that it is public record, but it was against the wishes of both sides in this case. Deputy Public Defender Adam Lipson, who is representing DePape, issued a statement saying, quote, "I oppose the release of the requested evidence because it could inhibit Mr. DePape's ability to get a fair trial and could fuel conspiracy theories about the case."
I think what's clear is that this case is vulnerable to misinformation. We are seeing
that was District Attorney Brooke Jenkins back in November. She argued against the release of this material on grounds that it might fuel more misinformation and that the public's right to pretrial material is not absolute. But this evidence was presented by prosecutors at a court hearing in December.
The body-worn camera footage was part of a preliminary hearing, which is in a public setting. And so once that body-worn camera footage entered the public sphere, there's really no legitimate privacy interest or law enforcement privilege.
DePape has pleaded not guilty to a list of state and local crimes. The court says this material will be made available at 9 o'clock Friday morning.
Now, we should note CBS News was part of the media coalition that fought for the release of that evidence. Here it is.
Yep.
Can you zoom in on that? The hottest ticket in town, and it's yours, the press pass.
My press credential. Ooh. I got it today for the 49ers for the NFC Championship game. You know, one of the great debates we've had off the field, which kind of cheesesteak am I going to have?
Oh,
is it going to come from Geno's? Is it going to come from Pat's? Is it going to come from Angelo's? I've been getting feedback from everywhere on that one.
How do you take your cheesesteak? How do you like it? Do you like it with provolone, or do you like it with the cheese whiz?
Oh, provolone. Yeah, I just let it kind of
melt.
Yeah,
I'm not fancy.
How much of a cheese whiz guy?
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Well. Anyway, hey, well, before they fly out from Santa Clara tomorrow, let's talk about the team a little bit, because they have enjoyed the comforts of home during their 12-game win streak, playing 8 of those games at Levi's Stadium. But that will change for Sunday's conference championship game when the Niners travel to Philadelphia. One Niner that knows the Eagles fans very well is offensive tackle Trent Williams here, who spent 9 years in the NFC East with Washington. And he knows that Philly is anything but the city of brotherly love for visiting teams.
It's a little bit more than just the noise that comes with that place. Philly is just one of those places where, you know, those fans, they make a difference. They get under your skin, you know, they They yell at you. They don't stop. When you walk into there, you know they let you know that you're not welcome.
All right, so the Eagles remain a slight home favorite. I was in the Niner locker room today. I saw receiver Juwan Jennings, and on my way out, he said, yeah, boy, there's a lot of emotions in here. We're antsy, but it's all about staying in the moment. The Sunday, a noon kick. It's going to be physical. It's going to be like 60-some-odd head-on collisions, Liz.
Ooh,
it's going to be violent. It is.
I mean, that kid has got ice water in his veins.
He does. He does.
He is ready.
And he's going to need it with those fans. Remember, they booed Santa Claus.
That's right.